In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 9, and I'll go down as far as I can today. I may even go down to verse 11. But verse 9, Jesus tells the church at Philadelphia, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. They were some was from the church of the devil. They said they were God's chosen, but they were not. They said they had the truth because they were God's chosen, but they lied. They may have been Israelites, but they were not Jews. The word Jew refers to their worship of God. They didn't worship God. They lied. There are those in the churches today who would tell you they are God's people, but they're not. They'll tell you they are Christians, but they're not. They are what we call friends of the church. They're not actually members of the body of Christ. He said, I'll make them come and worship before your feet. This doesn't mean that they are going to worship these people. They're going to come and bow their knee to God and worship Christ. Could it be that this church had lived so well and was so on fire for God, allowing the Spirit to have its way in the services, allowing the gifts of the Spirit, that these that say they were Jews and lied would eventually be saved and come and worship God right there with these people? Could it be that this church had such an influence on those of the synagogue of Satan that they prayed to God and God sent conviction to these and they was converted and actually came and worshiped God in this same church? Could it be this? You're saying, if they are from the synagogue of Satan, surely they would never be saved. Are you minimizing the power of the Holy Spirit's conviction? Are you saying that being a devil worshiper is the unpardonable sin? Are you saying that if someone gets mixed up in a religion that has satanic overtones, that they will never change, that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ would have no effect on them? Well, I believe that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. No matter what sin you've been involved in, no matter how low you have sunk, no matter how bad you think you've been, God will forgive you if you will follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit and repent. He said, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. They'll know that you were doing everything right. They will know that what you were doing in this church was that which pleased God. And then he said in verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Some take this to signify that the church will be raptured before the wrath of God is poured out on all the earth. I really like that narrative. I hope it happens. I don't want to be here when God pours his wrath out upon all that dwell upon the earth. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. I don't think I have to dwell on that. We know he's coming quick. And then he says, hold fast to that which you have. That's good advice. When you are living in perfect harmony with God's will and his word, you don't have to change. You don't have to try something else. Hold fast what you've got. You've got it right. Just steady the course. Keep on doing what you're doing. No need to look anywhere else for any other gospel or any other doctrine. Just keep on holding what you have and hold it fast. That means grip it and never let it go. Grip it as though the devil would try to steal that which you have. Hold it fast and tight. Don't let it get away. And then he says, let no man take your crown. Crown. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. In the New Testament, I read that they planted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Well, one of these days, he's coming back. He won't have a crown of thorns or a reed in his hand. He's going to be wearing a crown of gold and a sickle, a sharp sickle in his hand. I read that in Revelation 14:14. John says, I look and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of God, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. In 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. James 1:12, Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:4, When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus admonished, Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Jesus said, Let no man take your crown. That includes the crown of righteousness. It includes the crown of life. It includes the crown of glory that fades not away. Jesus said, Don't let anybody take your crown. You may wonder, how can anyone take my crown? Well, if he would take that perfect gospel, that perfect doctrine that you believe on, that God told you to hold fast to, if he can pry your mind and your heart away from that gospel and substitute it with another gospel, which there is no other gospel, if someone could deceive you in believing that there is another way, then you would lose these crowns. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads to destruction. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but before I step away from the microphone, I want to reiterate the method whereby you can become as this church. You can become a person that Jesus can find no fault in. It's easy. It's simple. Jesus told this pastor, You have kept my word. The pastor knew that that was what he was supposed to do. No doubt he recalled the gospel writers when they recorded Jesus' words in Matthew 7. Jesus says, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. And in Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's simple. Keep the sayings of Jesus. Stick to the doctrines of Christ. love His Word, love His truth, and you too will be without spot or wrinkle, perfect in the sight of God.